You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Woo! Monday the 27th of June 2022. Can you believe it? We're almost halfway through the year. Christmas is coming. Hope you people are preparing for Christmas because I think it's going to be an eventful one. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter whether you believe in Santa Claus or not. Trust me, by the time December rolls around, things are going to get very, very, how could you say, edgy on planet Earth. It's going to be a very edgy Christmas this year. What makes you think that, Rick? Well, judging by what's going on in the world at the moment, the insanity continues to rack up. Okay, just when you think we had reached peak levels of insanity, it gets taken a step higher. There's a lot of anger in the world at the moment, and dare I say, a step further than that, there seems to be an awful lot of hatred as well. The anger is morphing into hatred, and when that happens, things tend to get nasty, both within communities, in the streets in general, online, whatever. But anyway, rather than depress you too much, it's too early to depress you in the show. I'm going to wait until I'm about 30 minutes in, and then I'm going to really start on you. So let's pause and let's look at some good news items. If you can find any, I jest, of course, because there aren't any. Later on in the show, by the way, I'm going to be joined by Nicola Charles, who is a podcaster. She is an author and also a former resident of Ramsey Street in Victoria. Good old neighbours. Yes, she's coming on the show for the second time. Every time she comes on TNT Radio, she gets kicked off of social media, believe it or not. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. She'll be joining me later on the show. And in the final hour, I will have Jesse Zurawell back in TNT Towers talking to me from New Jersey. He also hosts the Perspective Show later on today, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. UK time, various times in Australia. That's all to come. And before I launch my first guest, like an Exocet missile, truth missile, into the general population, I just want, well, actually, strangely enough, bizarrely enough, the first item on my newsfeed is actually about a rocket being launched. Yes, I kid you not. NASA launches its first rocket from Australian commercial spaceport. So what? More money up in flames, literally. They're sending rockets into the atmosphere. So what? They want to try and land on the moon or Mars. So what? Listen, people are going broke right now in Australia. People are going bust right now in America. People are losing their minds all over the world. Firing rockets into the air, okay, if that's your hobby and you've got money to burn, then fire away, no pun intended. But the bottom line is there's more pressing matters to take care of at home. So we shouldn't really be celebrating a launch of a rocket, in my humble opinion. Of course, one of the dominant stories in the news over the last week has been the Roe versus Wade ruling being overturned in America. Q weeping and gnashing of teeth the world over, people screaming, oh, they can't take away our rights. They can't tell us what to do with our bodies. Have they forgotten what happened in the last 2 years where they locked you down in your house and they told you you have to take a medical injection before you can have a job? Where were all the pro-choice people then? Where were they all then? They were sitting at home on their asses watching Netflix, crying and complaining about lockdowns and spreading of viruses. That's where they were. They've all sprang to life over the last few weeks. And let me say this, if you have mandated or you supported vaccine mandates and you supported lockdowns and you're crying about choice, you're a hypocrite and you need to get your head examined, preferably by a psychiatric professional. You're a hypocrite. You need to sit down and examine your beliefs and what you're preaching. You can't preach one thing one day and preach something else another day. At least be consistent. Like me, I'm a very well-balanced individual. I have a big rock chip sitting on each shoulder, okay? So I have a chip on each shoulder. At least I'm well balanced. So wind your necks in, as they say in Northern Ireland. But anyway, I digress a little bit. What else is making the news in Australia? Australians' emissions have climbed in the coalition's final year. Again, so what? The price of iceberg lettuce has also climbed to the point where McDonald's are sticking cabbage into their burgers. Why don't you talk about that? So what if there's more smoke in the atmosphere? What difference does it make? Australian doctor who shared information, patient information, online, banned from working online. Excuse me, but there were people being asked what their medical information was going into bars and restaurants last year, going into the supermarket. Are you vaccinated? What's your medical record? Why aren't you wearing that face mask? What about all those people working in supermarkets and all those elected representatives that were asking people to divulge medical information? Hypocrisy. Rank hypocrisy. I'm gonna pause. I'm gonna take a deep breath, and I'm gonna try and shine some light and happiness into your lives when I usher in my first guest imminently on TNT Radio.
Searching for the facts.
I just don't think they're being honest with
today's News Talk Radio TNT.
Dr. Philip Altman has, I don't know what's going on in his head, but he's agreed to come back on the TNT Radio to talk to me about who knows what. He's either a very wise man with a lot to say, or he's a complete sucker for punishment. Which one is it, Philip?
Thanks for having me back, Rick. No, I'm not a sucker for punishment.
Well, it's good to see you again, and I do appreciate you taking time out of your evening. I almost said your morning, but then I realized, no, you're at the other side of the world. It's morning for me. It is evening time for you in Australia. And I want to just give our lovely listeners, before I welcome you proper to take the stand, Dr. Philip Altman is, and I'm sorry to say this, okay, it almost sticks in my throat to say this, he's, in his own words, all right, in his own words, an ex-Big Pharma guy. Yeah, ex-Big Pharma guy. X being the most important part of that statement. He has worked for 40 odd years. When I was just but a young lad, he was doing that business in Big Pharma, trying to do the best. By the way, he worked a lot in, let me give you an example. He worked as an authority on clinical trials and regulatory affairs with over 40 years experience in designing, managing, reporting clinical trials for drugs. He's worked with the Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration in gaining new drug approvals. He served as a senior industry consultant for over half the pharma companies in Australia. In other words, he is qualified, well qualified, to talk about this business of drug authorization, whether or not it should be ruled out, and what is going on. Is that a reasonable summary of your resume, or have I left anything out?
No, it's pretty good, Rick. I've been around the block. Yeah.
I didn't want to say you look like you've been around the block a few times, but yeah, you said it, all right. Sorry, I like to poke my guests a little bit and provoke a smile from them. And I'm good to see you seem to be in a good mood tonight. So I'm going to try and maintain that. Now, last time we were talking, where we're going over the business of what constitutes, you know, when should a drug be regulated for public consumption, for want of a better term. Okay, so obviously, in the last 2 years, there has been a massive development on the drugs front, whereby these so-called vaccines, in inverted commas, have been unleashed upon the world, not just in Australia, lockstep right across the board. And the one thing that I have been very puzzled by, genuinely puzzled by, is they were granted right off the bat emergency use authorizations. Okay, so in other words, we don't really have all the information we need to give these to you in a normal setting, but there's a global pandemic that could risk millions upon millions of lives. Therefore, we're almost bypassing regulation, and we're granting emergency use authorization. Now, right at the beginning, in March of 2020, they had everybody on the back foot, okay, me included. Everybody, I think, was taken aback by what happened when the so-called lockdowns began, and then they developed the products at warp speed, to quote Donald Trump. This emergency use authorization was granted. Why is it still being given today, given there is patently no emergency? What tactic are they using to continue to employ that?
Look, Rick, that's a very good question. By definition, the dossiers that were submitted cut corners. They didn't have the full complement of safety and efficacy data that one would normally need to register a vaccine. It usually takes about 7 to 10 years, as we discussed before, to gather that safety and efficacy data. Mm-hmm. Well, they had less than 12 months, so you can't have the data. And the condition of release of these experimental gene-based vaccines, I call them vaccines loosely because they don't really qualify in my vocabulary as being vaccines. They still have, the authorities, the sponsors here, the drug companies still have 6 years. They've been given 6 years in Australia from the provisional approval or release of these vaccines to supply the outstanding data. Now, the problem is this class of drug was a completely new class of drug. Not only was it a new class of drug, it was a gene-based therapy, which has dangers, special dangers of its own right. Not only that, they were advocating the worldwide use in healthy people. Common sense would tell you, you really have to be very cautious because you don't know what to expect of a new class of drug. Most drugs, most new drugs that are released are related. They're brothers or sisters of existing drugs, right? And you can usually predict roughly what the spectrum of adverse events is going to be and how severe or not severe they may or may not be. With a new class of gene-based drugs, you had no idea. I don't think the TGA here had any idea. I don't think the FDA had any idea in the US. I don't believe the UK authorities or the EU people had any idea. So it was a huge gamble. And it, to my mind, it is and continues to be the biggest gamble in public health in history. And we're all taking that gamble now. But we're 18 months down the road now. We've learned an awful lot, but I don't see the authorities have changed much. The original concepts and claims and so forth still continue despite what we now know. And that's really disappointing.
It is. Let me say this, okay? Not in defense of them, because you know how I feel about these products, and I don't believe anybody should be taking them, and certainly they shouldn't be continued to be rolled out at this phase. But even rewinding time back 2 years, okay, when this all kicked off, now they obviously knew a lot more than we did, and they obviously had this development ongoing with these products before, in my humble opinion, they were working on these. They didn't just come up with them in 3 or 4 weeks and roll them on the market in 9 months. They knew what they were doing. Back then, again, this emergency use, they could maybe have an argument to say back then, like 2 years ago, okay, it's a panic. We don't know what way this could go. This could go either way. Just to be on the safe side, we're bringing this product to market. It is risky. It's not proven, but you could get this and kill all your family if you get COVID. So the choice is yours, Philip. The choice is yours. Informed consent. At the very least, there should have been informed consent, which there's been a dearth of informed consent, hence the massive take-up for these products. Now, as in your words, 18 months has now rolled by. Okay, 18 months has rolled by. What have we learned in these 18 months? What we have learned is this, that number one, these products are inefficient, grossly inefficient, even in the words of the manufacturers themselves. You know, they're pretty much saying, if you've taken two doses of this, this is the manufacturers, this isn't Rick Munn. Taking two doses, the efficacy's dropped away to nothing. You have to keep continually getting boosted to give yourself, quote, some protection, unquote. And again, those figures are highly dubious. So infection is not prevented. Transmission is not prevented. It does not stop you from dying or getting seriously ill in the hospital. Despite what they say, it'll reduce your chances. There's no way of actually proving that. You know, against what? Maybe I'm drinking pure water every day. That's going to reduce my chances of getting seriously ill. Or I'm getting vitamin D from the sun because I go out walking 3 times a day. Maybe it's that that's causing, or my, heaven forbid, the old natural immune system, the God-given natural immune system in our bodies, maybe that's what's keeping me out of the hospital and off a ventilator. So those are things that we have gleaned as well as that. The level of reporting for injuries has gone up under the VAERS system, under the yellow card system. There are more and more incidences of young people dropping dead, getting myocarditis, having Bell's palsy, shingles, etc., all in conjunction with the outrolling of this program, and they're adding younger and younger age groups into the bracket. So in the UK, or in the US, they've just approved Pfizer and Moderna for 6-month-old babies up to the age of 5 years of age. I think it's 5 years of age with Moderna and 4 years of age with Pfizer, or it could be the other way around. But the bottom line is they're now authorized, the CDC has signed off an authorization for 6-month-old children in America as per right now. And they're flocking, by the way, the parents are flocking to these vaccination centers and putting pictures up on social media. They have news crews in there showing these children getting injected. And again, listen, in their own words, a year ago, they said, you know, this isn't anything to worry about in children. You know, children, the chances of a child getting this and dying specifically with no comorbidities is almost zero. So again, what's the rationale behind rolling it out to progressively younger age groups with progressively higher reports of damage? How do they justify that?
Well, I think there's some advantage from a commercial point of view in getting on the vaccine schedules for very young kids under 5 years of age. And I hate to think that's the reason why they're doing it, because the the clinical case to give a 6-month-old infant a gene-based therapy that has no medium or long-term safety associated with it, when they're at minimal to no risk of COVID-19, seems just wacky. It just doesn't make any sense. So I really cannot understand it. And this is one good example of how the health bureaucrats and the drug regulators have not seemed to have learned anything. And it really sends chills down my spine. There's a New Zealand High Court case now where I'm involved in that. To protect the kids. And the same thing is happening in Australia. But this is something, some people do argue that if you're elderly, you have comorbidities, there is some benefit in maybe 30 to 50% of elderly people to prevent them from dying. Now, that data, I'm not quite sure how rigorous that data is, but that's what a lot of people do think now. But for young people, for adolescents, for children, for a 6-month-old infant, it really doesn't seem to make much sense at all.
Like I said, you know, I'm throwing this out. Why are they doing this? I'm trying to get your slant on it, given your experience and given the fact that you've been in the industry for decade after decade after decade at the highest level with Big Pharma doing this sort of thing in the past. So these are questions that would crop up. So if you were at a roundtable event and I was there and I was the chief of, I don't know, some pharmaceutical company that was about to launch a product on the market, I'd be saying, Philip, I mean, Nick, is this legit? Should we really be putting this out there with such little clinical data? And there are no long-term safety effects. We haven't trialed this in pregnant women. We haven't trialed this on people that are on other medications. We haven't trialed this in children. Philip, do you think we're wise? And any normal, sane-thinking individual would say, Rick, you're crazy. You can't do this. This could be an unmitigated disaster. It could result in carnage. But yet, here we are trying to understand why they have allowed this to happen. And like I said, my friend, I just think the lunacy levels are reaching previously unthought of heights. It's insanity.
Right. Well, because there was so little safety data that was originally submitted or included in the dossiers for these vaccines, we are all highly dependent on the adverse drug reaction reporting systems to give us the signals on readout. And I really myself have very little confidence that those readouts in the VAER system or the DAEN system, which we have here in Australia, you would have a system, I think you have the yellow card system in the UK, I think.
Yep.
Are accurately reporting the true incidence of these adverse events. And a lot of authorities think that the underreporting of the incidence is something between about 10 to 30 times. I personally think it's a bit higher than that because of the circumstances. But that means we have a real problem. But there are other signals too. There are signals coming through. I just read the other day about the rate of ambulance call outs for cardiac emergencies in Israel are way up. The number of professional athletes who have dropped dead in training or on the sporting field is now over 1,000 in the last year. You can read all their names on the net. I mean, the signals are there, yet our health authorities and the drug regulators don't seem to be that concerned about it. And I have noticed, though, in recent times, that they have dropped the term quote safe and effective unquote. They seem to be crab walking back that term. The last ad that I saw on TV, the claim was instead of safe and effective, the claim was quote well researched unquote. So I think they do understand that there's something going on, but really they're not reacting proportionally to the danger signals that many of us are seeing, and I just can't explain it.
You know what? We're going to take a real quick ad break. And when we come back, I want to talk about something that you've been involved with over the last week in terms of giving a testimony to the like of Senator Jared Rennick and also Senator Malcolm Roberts. They're really driving forward, pushing for a Royal Commission investigation and everything that's going on in Australia with various things. I want to talk about your involvement with that when we come back after this short break on TNT Radio.
Trish Wood on TNT Radio.
Tamara Leach, one of the leaders of the Freedom Convoy in Canada, was given a big award this week. So that's lovely. And we should think of she and Chris Barber, who was also involved in the leadership of that movement frequently, because they did a wonderful thing, despite enormous, dishonest pushback leveled at them by our government and the legacy media, who were acting as the Prime Minister's lapdog as usual in pushing story after story after story that was nothing but a kind of a smear operation. The stories about the Freedom Convoy have all fallen away. They were either false on their face or they've been proven false. So, you know, now we're trying to get to the bottom of how the Prime Minister went after the Emergencies Act when the facts did not support it.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So many of your favorite libertarian celebrities are here at Freedom Fest. You not only get to hear them speak, you get to talk to them because our speakers are part of the action
Freedom Fest is an amazing opportunity for freedom lovers from all over the world to meet and interact, to strategize and come up with ways to advance our principles both in the culture and within the political space.
Don't miss Freedom Fest, the largest liberty event of the year, July 13th to 16th at the Mirage in Las Vegas. For more information, go to freedomfest.com.
Instead of putting a cracker under a politician, why not some TNT?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Dr. Philip Altman is back in TNT Towers this evening, this morning, this afternoon, depending on when you're listening, what time it is that you're listening at, wherever you're based. We're talking about, how they've managed to bring these products to market, at least, to get them to the point where they're injecting them now into six-month-old babies. One thing that Philip's involved with, and let me just give you an overview here, is there's a group called the Australian Medical Professional Society, or AMPS, which represents thousands of medical professionals who are currently standing up against medical martial law currently prevailing in Australia. So a summit was held on the 23rd of June in Brisbane, which is actually the home of TNT, I might add. There seems to be a lot of activity in Brisbane going on. I think I'm maybe going to have to relocate over there sometime in the future if Albanese signs me off for a visa, which is highly unlikely given the amount of abuse I've thrown his way over the last 6 months. But maybe I'll end up in Brisbane. I don't know, but there's a lot going on in Brisbane. So there was a summit there on the 23rd where a number of prominent clinicians and also Philip spoke out about the current suppression of doctor opinions. Now, this is very important, this one. Okay, so, people should be free to choose to do what they want to do. If I set a bottle of rat poison in front of you, okay, and you want to drink it, I would highly recommend that you don't. I would say, listen, before you ingest that, understand it'll kill off your central nervous system. It will result in sudden death and it will be a nasty way to go. If you still want to drink it after that, okay, because you're missing a few brain cells, well, that's fine. You know, that's up to you. You're a free individual. The problem with what we're talking about here today is that there has been a complete lack of informed consent given to people before they receive these products into their bodies. That is a given. And I've spoke to so many people at this point who have been vaccine injured, both on air and off air, with doctors who have supported informed consent. And, you know, the bottom line is they're in a minority. And the people that got no conformed consent before they took it are in the absolute majority. None of them have said, yeah, I was sat down for even 2 minutes. 2 minutes and told what the risk benefit analysis is for this particular product. Oh, I'm a doctor. I'm so busy. I don't have time to talk about that with my patients. Complete bunkum. In the United Kingdom, let me tell you this, if you're not aware of this, Philip, GPs were paid a bounty of £15 or $25 per person to get injected. If you were my GP and I phoned you up and I said, hi, Philip, I'm sick. Can I see you, please? No, I'm busy. When can I see you? Phone the receptionist. We can have a phone conversation. We'll maybe look at each other over Zoom and I might recommend you something in about 6 weeks' time. Okay, Philip, but I also want to get my COVID injection. Yeah. Come on in. I can take you today. Roll up your sleeve. Bish, $25. For under 15s, it went up to £25, which is about $40, they got an extra bonus for injecting children. And there was no problem. To come on in, the clinic's open, but you want to see, the child wants to be seen for a sickness or an illness? No, you can't see a GP. You can't see, they're all busy. Busy doing what? Busy injecting patients. And listen, it only takes, you could even do a informed consent in 30 seconds. I believe you could do it in 30 seconds. But you're not a doctor, Rick. What do you know? Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but here's the way the conversation could go. Hi, Philip. You're in for your vaccine? Yes. Let me just make you aware of a few things. Number one, this is still in clinical trials. Number two, if you have no comorbidities and you're under 70 years of age, the chances of you getting this and dying are infinitesimally small. Are you happy with that? Yes. What's the What's the drawbacks? Well, there's been a lot of reports about people dropping dead, taking myocarditis, having Bell's palsy, having their central nervous system compromised. What? So that could happen to me? Yes, it could happen to you, Philip. What are the chances? I don't know, but the chances are there. Now, given what I've just told you, are you still happy to proceed? Let me go away and think about it. That's fine. Off you go. Informed consent. No, I don't want it. That's fine. You've had informed consent. Yeah, I'm happy enough to proceed. That's fine. Informed consent. There's been no informed consent. And this business that you're involved with AMPS, you're concerned of the suppression of doctors' opinions about COVID and the vaccine mandates. So Senator Roberts, who's an old chum of mine, he comes on the show every few weeks, and also Dr. Peter McCullough spoke with courageous Australian clinicians who have sacrificed their careers, and they have, to tell the truth. Tell us about that summit. What's going to happen because of this? Are we expecting a positive outcome?
Well, we're making a lot of noise. More and more people are becoming aware of the problems. You know, the government here and the health bureaucrats here were saying for a long time, if you want to know about vaccines, go talk to your doctor. Well, what they didn't say was that your doctor is only able to tell you and comply with the narrative that the government has approved on the vaccines. If your doctor strays outside that narrative or gives you his own opinion, which is different from the government opinion, he or her risks losing their registration to practice. Now, that is very well known. So there is no informed consent. How can you not expect a doctor to give you informed consent? That is absolutely vital. I mean, you might as well log online to a computer and bypass the doctor to get a script and see what the narrative is. When I choose a doctor, I'm fairly particular. I want to choose a doctor who I know is going to be knowledgeable and truthful and I can talk to. And if you can't get the knowledge and the truth from your doctor, then what's the point? Now, all those clinicians that I was on the stage with in Brisbane on Thursday last were absolutely courageous. They have sacrificed their careers because they care about their patients. And everyone that's listening to this broadcast should really be concerned because everyone has to go to a doctor. And everyone expects your doctor to tell you the truth. And if you want your doctor to tell you the truth, things have to change. And the problem is, these health regulators, it's APRA here, it's other health regulators in the US and the UK and so forth, are seeking to control doctors more. And that's what that meeting was all about. And Senator Roberts and Senator Rennick know exactly what's going on, and they spoke eloquently about it. And I recommend that people go online, search AMPS and the Brisbane meeting, and listen to it. It went on for a couple of hours, but it's worth listening to.
Yeah, the website, by the way, and I also second that, would encourage anyone who wants to, instead of sitting down watching some trash on TV like Sky News or Love Island or Stars in Their Eyes or any of these trash modern day programs designed to turn you into literally the walking dead, educate yourselves and do some research on these issues. I'm sure many of you do, but you can't do enough. You can't know enough. So there's a video for the summit, and you can go to amps.org. redunion.com.au. If you go on there, you'll be able to see what was said, who said it, and, you know, make some notes. So when you're talking to people who are not in the know and they say, well, how do you know all this? You can direct them to that website and say, no, I'm not a doctor, but this guy, Philip Altman, has 40 years experience. This guy, Malcolm Roberts, is acting as a senator in Australia. This guy, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's a world authority on the heart. Okay, so we're pointing people to actual acknowledged authorities rather than being spokespeople for ourselves, which is why I like to have people like you on the show, because the level, the accusation could be leveled at me. Well, Rick, you're not qualified to talk about this, am I not? Fair enough. Well, I know a guy who is. His name's Dr. Philip Altman. So, you know, I would say, Philip, I would say it's highly unlikely you'll have a politician or one of these so-called health officials that would be prepared to sit down with you and debate this on a live show or in a public forum, because you would tear them to shreds, because you know the truth and you're speaking the truth and you don't have any sort of Damocles hanging over your head and they can't get you. You're retired. You know, you're not dependent on them for an income. You can't be struck off their registers. So therefore, you're a dangerous guy, and they don't want people like you talking out. Is that a fair comment, or am I being a loon?
No, that's very fair. Of all the people that were on that stage in Brisbane, they really sacrificed their career. I'm a retired guy, and I haven't sacrificed much. I've just put in a bit of work over the last couple of years to understand what's going on. But Rick, you're quite right. The one thing that we don't see in the media is any debate. Have you ever seen a debate? Have you ever met?
Not one.
Have you ever heard once a news reporter commenting on a child that just dropped dead soon after a vaccination?
Nope.
I mean, you used to hear reports about a child that's left in a car in the middle of summer with the windows up and they died and it made the news. But now you don't hear any adverse drug reaction, any adverse effects, anything negative about the vaccines at all. It is banned. It is absolutely banned. And that extends to the medical literature. The medical literature is highly censored. And we are in an age of, as Robert Malone has termed it, scientism. And what science, you may or may not have heard that term. I was only introduced to that term just recently, but that we've all heard of junk science, right? But scientism is junk science on steroids, right? It's industrial strength junk science. It's junk science that's fruited by people who you would normally trust, right? And it's not debated. It's not debated at all. And that scientism can only thrive if you have two more elements. You have to add two elements to this industrial strength junk science. You have to add mass censorship, and you have to add fear. And we have both. And we're not going to get to the truth unless we remove the censorship and take the fear down a few notches, just dial it down. But I really fear that they're going to continue with these narratives for some time to come. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no sign of let up, and in fact, if anything, Philip, what I'm seeing is they're doubling down on their positions. Okay, they're not saying we need to put a halt on this. They're saying, yeah, we need a third dose, we need a fourth dose. In Israel, they're vaccine crazy. They were the trailblazers for this with the introduction of their green pass, and then obviously that followed with vaccine passes in Australia. We saw them in the UK as well. We saw them all over. We saw them in America in different states. There's no sign of abatement. The COVID pass as well has been renewed in the EU for at least another 12 months. It's not currently being used, but they've kept it alive for at least another 12 months by a massive majority of people voting in the European Parliament in Brussels. So there's no backing down in this. They're almost pretending, you know, the elephant in the room in analogy, even though the elephant is getting bigger, literally by the day, and the room seems to be shrinking by the day, it hasn't stopped them. In fact, there's more than one elephant in the room now. There's several, and the people are starting to get squeezed against the walls, but still they continue with the narrative. We're going to take another real quick break before we run into the end of the show. And I want to talk about this business of, you know, trust, erosion of trust and coercion, bullying. Because listen, that's what's happening in the medical profession today as we're speaking and has been for the last 18 months. I want to break that down a little bit more with you when we come back after this short break on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
In this midterm election season, the legacy establishment media has attempted to suppress the issue of COVID and the appalling, oppressive, and unscientific government response to the virus. So it's interesting to see that the most popular story in the Madison St. Clair Record is titled, Hackler says he's always opposed mask and vaccine mandates. Cortez says, as a mom, she thought Pritzker lockdowns mandates. The political battle is for the GOP primary for Illinois' House District 112 to be held on the 28th of June. Candidate Joe Hackler faces scrutiny from challenger Jennifer Cortez. Hackler has not been the worst offender in promoting unscientific and oppressive responses to COVID, but it's good to see media cover the issue, and candidate Jennifer Cortez, who has fought hard over COVID policy, including against the insane, cruel masking policies for children at school. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area, or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government, delivered by the NFF.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Governments around the world are wasting billions of dollars in carbon capture and storage. Such programs oppose the benefits of enhanced photosynthesis for a greener world and improved crop yields. Much of the funding goes to geosequestration, which requires vast amounts of energy to pump carbon dioxide deep underground into geological formations. It would be better described as oxygen burial, given oxygen makes up 73% of the mass of carbon dioxide. For most of the last 600 million years of life on Earth, atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration exceeded 1,000 parts per million. And for much of that time, including when the dinosaurs roamed it, it was over 2,000 parts per million. Today, it is only about 415 parts per million. Burning fossil fuels liberates carbon back into the atmosphere from which it came.
Where progress is influenced by revolution and evolution. This is today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
Okay, Dr. Philip Altman and I are deep, I tell you, deep in conversation. We're not talking about the weather today. We're not talking about the foodie. We're not talking about what we did at the weekend. I wish we could maybe someday when all this blows over and there's nothing else to talk about. It would be lovely to have you back on and you can just tell me about your life in general. All right. But until now, forget about it. There's too many other things going on. Now, you said something actually. I like just listening to people, believe it or not. And they always say things that cause me to think. You said, well, I'm retired. So I haven't really sacrificed, you know, it's not like my job's on the line and it's not like, you know, I'm going to lose the roof over my head if I speak out. I'm retired. I haven't sacrificed. That's wrong. You have. What do I mean? Well, I remember last time you talked to me, you said, listen, you know, I'm online all the time. I'm researching stuff all the time. You probably didn't plan on retiring and continuing to get knee deep or neck deep in this pharmaceutical business. And not even from the point of promoting it, but from helping people not to die from it in your retirement years. You know, I'm sure that wasn't on your plan. Yeah, I'm going to retire. I'm going to travel. I'm going to walk my dogs. I'm going to plant some nice flowers in the garden, and I'm going to play a little bit of golf and see the grandchildren. I bet you that's what you thought. Oh boy, were you wrong? Were you wrong or what?
No, I was wrong. All I can say is retirement for me isn't what it's cracked up to be. but this is one of the most important things I've ever done in life. I can see the damage that's being done. I'm only being honest. I'm not really trying to stir anyone up. I'm just a scientist, but I can see what's going on, and I can see how wrong it's going. And I can see that there's no change in direction. And what's even worse is that COVID-19 is not going to be the end of it. If we don't fix the mistakes, the errors that we've made, we're doomed to repeat it again. And that's why Senator Roberts and Senator Renick support a royal commission. And I do too. That's the only way we're going to get to force people to actually tell the truth under oath. Will that ever happen, or are both sides of politics just as bad as each other? I'm beginning to think that.
I know. It's sad, isn't it, that we're becoming... Listen, before all this garbage, I was a reasonably, you know, carefree guy, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Everyone has their problems in life. Everyone has things they need to deal with. We just get on with things. Now, all of a sudden, we're literally a hand grenade. It's like a bomb has been thrown into our lives and exploded, and we've been launched into the air, and we're coming down, back down to earth, along with the debris and the dust and the fallout, and we're scratching our heads. And we're really genuinely, and it's maybe not a bad thing, we're becoming very, very skeptical about what we're told and about the way the establishment works. And I'm hoping and believing if there's people that can cause a difference in Australia, it's the people that are working on it now, like yourself and Senator Renick and Senator Roberts. I have no doubt about that. When you look at the like of Fauci, who has been torn apart by Rand Paul over in America, for example, the guy's still on TV. You know, he lied about his involvement in Wuhan. He lied about funding. The guy is a habitual, perpetual, pathological liar, and has been for a very, very long period of time. But yet he's still not only walking free, but he's still operating in that position of influence within America. So it does very much make you scratch your head and say, what the heck is going on? This left and right, the blues and the reds, the liberals and the Labour and the Republicans and the Democrats and this, are they not all in cahoots? Because these people seem to be sinning with importunity, let me just say. And what they're doing is, it's an abomination, Philip. It's an abomination. Now, doctors, and I try and put myself into someone else's shoes before I judge them, all right? And I end up judging them anyway, but, you know, at least I'm trying to put a caveat in there. I'm trying to empathize a little. If I was in the position where my job depended on me taking a vaccine, for example, I can't say that I wouldn't take it, even though I'm absolutely vehemently opposed to it, because I'm being threatened with the removal of a roof over my head and the ability to provide for my family and put food on the table and so on and so forth. So you have to say, well, if I get sacked, how am I going to do that? And some people have walked away and some people have just said, well, I can't deal with that stress. And I don't think any less of those people. You know, I think it's horrendous that people have been put in that position. The same with doctors. Personally, if you're an MD, all right, and you've been through medical school, and if I can see this for what it is, please, if you're a fully qualified physician, don't tell me that you can't see the BS. They can't come out and say it because they also are under pressure. They've got a load of loans, student loans and student debt accumulated from all those years in medical school. They have usually a high standard of living. If you're a doctor, you know, you don't drive a beat up old 20-year-old car. You know, you'll have a nice new car in the drive. Your kids may be in private education. You'll be used to taking your holidays. You have a big mortgage. You maybe have a second holiday home. You have position and standing. That's, I'm generalizing, but I'm saying there's a certain lifestyle and a certain reputation around that medical profession. Now, if I threaten you with the removal of all that, you lose the house, you lose the holiday home, the kids have to go out of private education into state school, you hand over the keys of the BMW, you're unemployed all of a sudden. Let's just say that can affect your views, and you change from being a scientist to a convert to scientism, as you have just said. You know, the fact that this is being perpetrated, and, you know, it's coming down from on high. The doctors aren't making this level of decision at GP level or private practice level. They're being told by the government to do it. Is this not, you know, indirectly, potentially the biggest attack on humanity in all of history, bar none?
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think what's happening is the people who were put in that position, who have spent 10 or 20 years educating themselves, getting to where they want to be, whether they be a doctor or a pilot or something like that. And by the way, the judges don't have to be mandated, and the politicians don't have to be mandated. But for most of us, you know, that might apply. And I think the way they rationalize it in their minds, and I, you know, it's hard to put myself in their shoes, but I try and understand it, is that they basically say to themselves, well, it's Russian roulette. The chances of me getting myocarditis are what, 1 in 1,000, maybe 1 in 2,000, dropping dead, you know, 1 in 5,000, or some figure like that. And they say, well, just roll the dice, right? I want to keep my job. So I can understand that. But what they're not thinking about, they're only thinking about the short-term effects. Okay, there's three types of toxic effects. Quite quickly, there's the short-term ones which we're seeing, but we don't know what the medium-term effects are. The neurological effects, say, the effects on cancers and so forth. That's medium-term to long-term. We have no one knows any idea about that, right? And there's also the other side of the coin is the subclinical toxicity. So you go to your doctor when you have a toxic effect, but really, are you being affected and you haven't noticed it? Do you have subclinical myocarditis? If you're a bike rider, if you're a professional bike rider, I would highly advise you to see a cardiologist to have a checkup to see what they think, because professional athletes are dropping dead by the hundreds, and it's a really important thing to consider. But everyone is being put in a difficult position, which we have never in history been put in this position before. And I just can't imagine how people cope with this mentally. It's just devastating.
It's that business you referenced. Dr. Malone, you know, he came out with a statement. He didn't, you know, define it originally, but he talked about mass formation psychosis. And, you know, I think in a way, and I've written this down and I'm going to use it a lot, in a way you've answered the question that everybody wants to know without realizing you've answered it. Okay. So when I asked you, why is all this going on? Why is this happening? I was like, well, I'm not sure. And I don't know. And who can say? You kind of did provide an answer. Okay. The position we're in right now, globally, is because of a formula, one that you have just provided on air. You don't even realize it, okay? The formula is this. The mess we're in equals junk science plus mass censorship plus fear. That should now be taught as part of the curriculum in every school. Yeah. Whenever the question is asked in time to come, how did they ever end up in such a mess in 2022? They'll call it the Altman theory or the Altman formula. Patent it and trademark it today. I'm telling you this. Well, we ended up in that position because of junk science plus mass censorship plus fear equals the hell that we are currently in. And to be honest with you, you know, there's a few other things that I wanted to talk about. The erosion of trust in the medical profession, which is undoubtedly there. I am super skeptical of general practitioners. There's a few doctors I know who are legit, but I would certainly be raising an eyebrow if I went into a surgery and they said, okay, we want to, while you're in, we want to just give you your annual flu shot. I'm like, what the hell else is in that? What else are they putting into me? Are they telling me, oh, there could be a polio outbreak like they're touting in the UK, or there's monkeypox on the way? We have a vaccine for that. Automatically, I'm like, forget it. If you tell me the bubonic plague's making a comeback, I'll take my chances with that over anything that the NHS or the CDC or any health regulator advises at this time, because there has been such an erosion of trust. And it's a horrible position to be in, to go to a medical practitioner that you should feel completely safe with and comfortable with, and that you're in capable hands, and actually be looking at them like this, going, what's the agenda? Is this guy actually, is he on a commission to stick more needles in my arms? Is he acting in my best interest? Is he even going to give me informed consent? It's not a good position to be in, Philip, you know, but listen, we're coming up to time. I do appreciate your input and your time, and yeah, thank you for your time out of your evening tonight. Hopefully it hasn't been too stressful for you, and I would like to think we can keep on top of this, and you can keep us updated on this commission with Senator Roberts and Rennick over the next few weeks. Would that be acceptable for you?
Sure, just give me a call anytime, Rick. I enjoy having a word with you.
Well, listen, likewise, and I'm not just saying that, I feel somehow lighter now. I'm sorry to dump it in your lap tonight. You got the receiving end of this, but that's life on TNT Radio. Dr. Philip Altman, thank you. I'll be back after the news with Nicola Charles on TNT Radio. Don't go away.